Gevaldik. So over the course of the week, we've had the chance to begin to mekayim the minhag that the Beis HaLevi describes, a minhag that we will continue to mekayim over the next week and a half. That is that he quotes, but this is Beis HaLevi writing in the 1800s in Valozhin. It was already in the 1800s, already a well-established minhag in Litta to learn these the Chanukah sigas over the course of the Chanukah season. So he says, I was also mitzarf to minhag. I also tried to carve out some time to learn these blot, and I had to. Amarti lichtokan is a ha'aris. I had a couple of ha'aris, I figured I would write them down. And he goes on, Baruch Hashem, for 13, 14, 15 pages. And to have the chance to, the last couple of days, to begin to learn those blot also. You already began to see. You learned the Harusi, you learned with me. Very, very beautiful, very, very pretty Gemara. And a lot going on. So maybe we could take a comment now. We start the morning just to put a little flesh on the bones. Talk a little bit more about some of the touch on some of the Yanei Chanukah, and also maybe explain certain things and maybe point out some other questions that will give us food for thought. Shabbos Daf Chafalos. So as you saw, the Gemara very quickly. Let's talk a little bit. The Gemara very quickly moves to the question of a lot of fundamental questions. The Gemara right away opening the sugya asks a lot of the basic questions. How many do you light? When do you light? Where do you light? Let's talk a little bit about each of those questions. And they're somewhat interconnected. The Bryce on the top of Chaf Aleph on the Beis that we know well, and we had a chance to chazer a couple days ago. Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Yishu Beiso. The core mitzvah is Ner Yishu Beiso. Is the entire family is Yotze through a single Hadlaka. One Ner per night per home. And then, as you remember, the Brisa goes on to say that there are two levels of Hidur. There's Hidur and Mahadran. Remember Mahadran? The first level of Hidur is Ner Chal Echad V'Echad. And the second level of Hidur is per night. So the first level of Hidur is instead of everyone in the house being Yotzi with one Hadlaka, everyone does their own Hadlaka. And then the second level of Hidur is to vary it by the night, as Tosa stresses, you have a Hakeira, so it's clear which night of Chanukah it is. And on that point, on these points is a Machlokas HaTanaim, and a double Machlokas HaRishonim. So number of the Machlokas HaTanaim, the famous Machlokas HaTanaim, Yishan Beisilo, you're doing the Mahadran, Mina Mahadran, so are you going up, you're going down, you're most of Holich, or are you Pochus V'Holich? And then, a double Machlokas HaRishonim, in terms of the Hidur, the Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, and then in terms of the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, the per night. So Tosis and the Rambam, is something you may have explored a little bit in the past. Tosis and the Rambam debate, and this is, Bar Heitev points out, this is ironic how this plays the Halacha Maisa, is Machlokas Ashkenazim as far Rishonim, Ashkenazim as far Rishonim, and the Psak is exactly reversed. There's a Machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. The Rambam presents, so let's say you have 10 people in the house, you do Mahadrin and Mahadrin. So the first night you line 10 Neres, and the second night you line 20 Neres, the third night you line 30 Neres, and finally the last night you have 10 people, and night number 8, we pass night Basil, so you're lighting 80 Neres. That's the approach to the Rambam. Tosa says you can't do that. You can't multiply Hidr number 1 by Hidr number 2. Tosa says you have to choose. Either you're going to do Hidr number 1 or you do Hidr number 2. Either you're going to do Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, or Tosa says you're going to go back to just having Ner Yishu Beiso, but the first night is 1, the second night is 2, the third night is 3. Tosa says that the Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin don't add up, or you don't multiply them. You have to choose one or the other. Why? Because Tosa says, you walk by someone's house, and there are 12 Neris in the window. So what does that mean? Does that mean that tonight is night number 2 and 6 people live there? The night number three and four people live there. The night number four, three people live there. The night number six and two people live there. Tosa says if you're going to do both, Ner Chalachav Yechad and Ner Yishubeso, I just see a mass of candles. I have no idea what night it is. And Tosa implies that the significance of the most of Vahalach, the Pochus Vahalach, is specifically the Hekera. That it should be evident to people, what's the added Hidur? The added Hidur is, what are you gaining by Mahajim and Amajim? Why is that more Mahudur? Stam, because it's more Neris? The Torah says, no, because it's a Hekera, because it's Nikr, because the whole idea, or one of the ideas, one of the purposes, anyhow, of Ner Chanukah is Persume Nisa. The Torah says it's a greater Persume Nisa if you're not only saying tonight is Chanukah, but there's a dynamic sense of the flow of Chanukah. You can tell not just that it's Chanukah, but that we're a certain point in the trajectory of Chanukah. Tonight's night five. Tonight's night six. Tonight's night four. The Tosfos says, if Chazal were encouraging everyone to shoot for the star, Mahadran and Mahadran, and do both Ner Lachal Ech Ve'echad and Nerish and most of Holich, so then nothing's Nikr. So that's what Tosfos says. Take questions in a moment. That's what Tosfos says. If you're doing Mahadran and Mahadran, you go back. You that's in place of Mahadran, in place of Ner Lachal Ech Ve'echad. Mahadran and Mahadran, Tosfos says, means one person per household lights, but one the first night, two the second night, three the third night. And that's what I think the Bar Heitev and maybe some of the other notes that came on page of Shulchan Aruch also point out that they think this might be the only place in Shulchan Aruch where you have a full flip lahalacha. Sometimes both Ashkenazim and Sfarim, sometimes both Machaber Amal and Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Kara, the Machaber usually represents the practice of Sfarim, the Ramah, Moshe Isserles, a contemporary of his who lived in Krakow, usually represents the approach of the Ashkenazim. And sometimes both, usually, the Mechaber is aligned with the Sephardi Rishonim and the Ramah is aligned with the Ashkenazi Rishonim. Sometimes they both line up with the Ashkenazim or both line up with the Sephardim. But the Nosei Kelim in here in Shulchan Aruch point out, this might be the only time where there's a full flip. The Sephardim follow Tosfos and the Ashkenazim follow the Rambam. The Sephardim do not do Ner L'Chalecha V'Yachad. Only one person home lights, but most of Olech. One tonight and two tomorrow night and three the third night and so on and so forth. And that's the approach of Tosfos. Whereas Ashkenazi practice is like the Rambam. Ashkenazi practice is Ner Chalecha V'Yachad and most of Holich. They might come home and there are five different, there may be one, but there may be only one person home. One person home is lighting, but there may be two, there may be five. And what each one of those people will do one tonight and two tomorrow night, three the third night. The Rambam already writes, Laman HaShleimus, the Rambam already writes that what he's presenting is not the minig pashat besfarad, was not the, in his time, the common minig in Sfarad was to follow Tosfos, but he felt that the pshat in the Gemara is you do both, and practically speaking, Ashkenazim blend both Hidurim, as Rambam understood in the Gemara, and Sfaradim choose most of Aholech over Ner L'Chalecha V'Echad, as Tosfos did. So that's all for two machloksin. Machloksin B'Shaim B'Sil, how do the numbers work with the most of Holech, Pochus, is it most of Holech or Pochus of Holech? How do the numbers work with the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim? And then you have a Machlokas, again, as we said, Tosfos and the Rambam, is the most of Holech, is Mahadrim and Mahadrim coming to supplant and take the place of Mahadrim? The Asfardi approach, which is a sheet of Tosfos, or is it added up, layered on top of? In addition to Ner L'Chalecha V'Echad, you also have most of Holech, the Shita of the Rambam and the practice of Ashkenazim. Yeah, questions?
Why wouldn't Tosfos have an issue with everybody lighting, everyone in the family lighting candles? Isn't that also going to create a massive
candle? Yeah, it's an interesting question. How do you even know? If I walk by someone's house, how do I know whether they're doing Mahadran or Mahadran and Mahadran? Yeah, that's an interesting question also. I'm not sure. How could Chazal even have been masaking two levels of Hidur at all? Wouldn't that already confuse things? I'm not sure. Unless the assumption is that most people are going to shoot for the Mahadrim. If you can afford it, you're going to shoot for the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. So if I walk around town, I can feel safe assuming. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Yeah. Ah, good. Yeah, so good. So Ellie is asking a good question. We seem to have figured out a solution. Yeah, what were you going to say, Avichai?
A possible answer to what Cantor asked is, you passed by yesterday. Same number.
Oh, that's an interesting point. That's very sharp. You're saying the whole idea of most of Holich or Pochus Holich, it's not systonic. It's not just one moment in time. It's the fact you're passing by the house every night and you're seeing the dynamic flow. It doesn't look the same as last night. Interesting. So you're saying, that's a good zog. You're saying it doesn't look the same as last night, but there may be more or fewer people in the house from night to night. And if you're doing both, then it's just going to throw everything off. It's interesting. Huh? That's very nice. Very nice. In terms of Ellie's point, so Ellie was mechaven to the Mahara of Prague, very late Ashkenazi Rishon, whom the Rama quotes in his Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe is Rama's Pirush in the bottom of the Torah. And he says, that practically speaking, Ashkenazim don't follow Tosas. We came up with a solution. We came up with the Teres of Tosas Kasha. And that is, you could put different, each person has his own menorah, each person has his own Chanukiah. And you put it in a different spot. I'll put it in this window, you'll put it in that window. Mine will be higher, yours will be lower. And it'll be nikar. That there's a line of five nairs, and there's another line of five nairs, and there's a third line of five nairs. So we've come up with a solution. So we can have both Yidurim, and we don't lose out on the Hekeira. Yeah, what's interesting, that I mentioned before, the three machloksin, that's the third machlokus. Because if you look at the Rambam, I mentioned before, the Rambam's language. The Rambam, like the Ashkenazi practice, the Rambam believed that the two Hidurim are not mutually exclusive, that you superimpose Mahadrim Mahadrim and Papa Mahadrim, that you're going to have Nero Fa'af V'Yachad, as well as most of Aholich, or according to Beisham, post of Aholich. But the difference, then there's a further machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramah, and it plays out in how we do Mahadrim and Mahadrim, but unlike the other two machlokas, and fundamentally this machlokas Rama Rama is really about Mahadrim. And that is, I mentioned before, the Rambam's language is, let's say you have 10 people. That's the example I give you. 10 people in the house. So the first night, Madlik Asara Neris. The second night, Madlik Esrim Neris. The first night, he lights 10. The second night, he lights 20. Until Nimsa, the last night of Hanukkah, he's Madlik Shmonim Neris. He is lighting 80 Neris. It does not sound like there's different. It does not sound like the Mara of Prague. It does not sound like there's any differentiation. It sounds like just a mass of 80 Neris, leaving aside the fire hazard. And how you got to be very thoughtful in which you light first. You can manage to light all 80 nairs without setting your sleeve on fire. There's another nekuda also, and this is the Beis Halevi in Briskerov, his grandson point out, and he may have explored this a little bit in past years, and that is that the Rama makes it sound like, he doesn't say madlikim, he says madlik. He lights 10, and he lights 20, and he lights 30, and he lights 80. In other words, I think Shai Zari Mairei pointed this out, certainly Beis Halevi and his grandson, Revelvel Briskerov, point out that the Rambam seems to have understood that one person is doing all the lighting, which is the Sephardi practice. As the Sephardi practice is to not to seek to have Nerech Ha'echad Yechad. But here's what's interesting. In the Rambam's understanding of Nerech Ha'echad Yechad, it's one person doing the lighting. It's just a question of, do I light one Ner? Do I light 10 Neros? One person lights kafi the number of people in the house. Just like Mahadrim in a Mahadrim is I light either 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 depending on the night. But I'm doing the lighting. The Rambam seems to have understood Mahadrim was one person lights, but instead of just lighting one, light for the number of people in the house. Very surprising. Unlike the Ramah, who says, we do both Yidurim, and what that means is each person is going to light. Intriguing. In other words, when you say Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, that first Yidur, that middle level, we always assume Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad means each person lights, instead of relying on one person lighting for a whole household, each person should light. The Rambam said, no. one person lights. Just the question is, does one person light one candle or 10 candles? One nair or 10 nairs? Wow, what's that all about? Very, very surprising. No one does that. Sfardim don't do nair echad echad, and Ashkenazim have a different version of nair echad, the one that we take for granted. That means every person lights. And if you can make it a little more precise, and right now the strong ram just strikes us like, wow, that's surprising. I've never heard that before. To make our Tamiha more precise, the Rambam, what's the point of these Hidurim? Why is this more Mehudar? So the second Hidur is, as Tosa said, you're showing, and as Avichai stressed, you're come walking by the same house night after night, and you're seeing a shift. You're seeing trending. First there was two, then there was three, then there was four. You're seeing the Nesis dynamic. Oh. So it adds to the Pesumin Yisrael. What's the gain of the Ner Echad Echad Echad? Why is that more Mahuta than Ner? Just Ner Yishuv Eso? Why is it more Mahuta than to have per person? I would assume because Mitzvah Yosem Rishlucha. Instead of just relying on someone else to do it, do it yourself. Do the Mitzvah yourself. Make right then you can have one person light for the whole house. But Lamaisa would be more Mahuta if you were involved personally. Like mitzvah, similar to mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucha. The Rambam clearly did not understand it that way because he doesn't have everyone lighting on their own. What prompted the Rambam to back himself into a corner? The natural pshat in Ner Echad 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 is the way the Rambam presents that each person lights. You should be personally involved in mitzvah instead of relying on someone else. So what would have prompted the Rambam to say Ner Echad 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 just means one person lighting but more candles? Times the number of people in the house. You may remember, maybe he came across this in past years, that Biskarov has a fascinating pshat. Biskarov suggests that the Rambam was backed into a hole because of an assumption he made of a Hidur Mitzvah. That he thinks, the Biskarov thinks that the Rambam understood that Hidur Mitzvah can't exist independently of the core Mitzvah. And he thinks that there may be a machlokas in the sugya. Is Hidur Mitzvah a new kiyum of Avas Hashem, or is it purely just ramping up the way I do the core mitzvah? So the Bris Kerov understood, not everyone agrees with him. The Rambam was very doctrinaire about this. The Rambam said, you can't, once you're mekayim the mitzvah, you can't do more Hidur Mitzvah later. The Hidur Mitzvah has to be, Hidur Mitzvah only exists, the Bris Kerov shows the Rambam seems to hold of this in several contexts. Hidur Mitzvah only exists as an enhanced version of the Ikar Mitzvah. You cannot, the Bris Kerov suggested B'Da'as HaRambam, you cannot do the Mitzvah now and add the Hidur later on. It doesn't work. You can't add Hidur later. Hidur is just a question of choosing which way you're going to do the Mitzvah. So because Bris Kerov suggests, because the Rambam was of the opinion that Hidur Mitzvah needs to be tightly Mitzurav to the Ikar Mitzvah, I can't inject the Hidur later. So one of the nafkaminas is this. One of the nafkaminas is, the Rambam said, how could it be, if I was already Yotze with you, we live in the same house, and you lit first, I was already Yotze Mikra Adin. And then subsequently, I'm going to do my own action, Havlaka, and that's going to be a Hidr? The Rambam said, that doesn't compute. That's not how a Hidr, for the Rambam, it's not how a Hidr Mitzvah works. For the Rambam, a Hidr, you can't add a Hidr later. Hidr is choosing which way you're going to do the Mitzvah. Very Yotze the Mitzvah, it's too late for Hidr. That's the Bris Kerov understands. As the Rambam said, even though I sure would have naturally assumed that Ner Echad Echad means each person lights on his own, Rambam says, but that can't be. It can't be that I was Yotze Mikra Adin with someone else's Hadlaka, and then when I come home later, I'm going to do my own Hadlaka. Even 5 minutes later, I'm doing Hadlaka. How are you adding a Hidr after the Ikar Mitzvah was done? So that's what the Rambam was forced to say, that Ner Echad Echad just means one person lighting, a single mice had luck, but you're doing more nairs. And maybe that's a greater pursuit in Nisa because you're showing, maybe because you're showing, you're advertising that every single person in this house subscribes to Ner Chanukah. Every single person in this house is excited about Ner Chanukah. You're putting out a separate message on behalf of each person in the house, but it has to, Rambam understood, it had to be a single mice had luck. It can't be, I do my Maisa Hadlaka, you do more, your Maisa Hadlaka. If I'm ready Yotzi, your Maisa, then my Hidur later would be meaningless. So again, Halacha Lamasa, let's just wrap up. So how many do we light? Again, there are three levels. The Ikar Mitzvah, Ner Shebeso, which we'll come back to in a moment. And then we focused a lot on the second layer of Hidur, the second layer, the ner per night, the most of a halach, the pochus of a halach, which is a Beishan Basil debate how to do that. And the Tosis and the Rambam debate whether it takes the place of the first Hidur or is added on top of the first Hidur. And finally, in terms of the first Hidur, Ner Yishu Beiso, the Rambam has a striking understanding that it means one person is just lighting a number of Neros, corresponding to the number of people in the house, while the Ramah takes an approach that strikes us as more natural. And that is what Ashkenazim practically do, that each person lights his own menorah, and the number of Neros that you're lighting is most of a holech kafi the number. A couple of two added ha'aris. One about Beishan Beisil, and one about how this question relates to the rest of Hilchos Chanukah. Beishan Beisil, just to throw an idea your way, a very broad global idea to get you thinking. What are they arguing about? Most of holech, pochus of holech, right? The Gemara gives different interpretations. The first of which is connected yamim hanichnasim, connected yamim hayotzin. Beis Shammai are saying we're going to light according to the number of nights that are left. Tonight, according to Beis Shammai, you light eight neiros because there are 8 days of Hanukkah ahead of us, and then there are 7 days of Hanukkah ahead of us, and then there are six. Well, Beis Hillel say tonight's the first night, so far we have chapter in one night of Hanukkah, you light one. Tomorrow afternoon before Shabbos, we'll array up to the second day, we'll light two. So what's that all about? So it could be the Pshat is like this. Rav Zevin, Shlomo Yosef Zevin was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, in Yerushalayim. He's a contemporary of the Brisker Rav and Rissa Zal Meltzer. He did see eye to eye with Rissa Zal Meltzer on many things. He did not see eye to eye with Brisker Rav on many things, though he respected him greatly, the Talmud Chacham. But their views on Medina Sisrael were definitely very, very different. But we'll talk that there are stories about that for some other time. Just to get a sense of who of the sort of Talmud Chacham Rav Zevin was, he was the author of many, many different types of Sfarim. He's perhaps most famous, depends to whom. Probably his most famous contribution was that he was a founding general editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudis. If you've seen the Encyclopedia Talmudis, they're roughly halfway through the Aleph Beis now, and they're up to around 40 volumes. It's a massive work. Rav Zevin, decades and decades and decades ago, in the early days of the state, sat down with a pen and paper. This was long before Bar Ilan University existed, but Bar Ilan Responsive Project did not. Long before anything was searchable on a computer, he sat down with a pen and paper and proceeded to lay out what all of the articles should be. He produced a full list of what all the articles should be, how things are going to be organized, just with pen and paper. Like, to be kolel all of halacha in an alphabetical form is astounding. In a different sense, his greatest contribution may have been that he was, many see him as the first one to write substantive lamdusha Torah and lamdusha halacha in modern Hebrew. He was the first one to bring heavy duty learning to modern Hebrew, which opened up ambitious learning to a whole segment of Israeli society. He wrote articles. He had regular column in Hatzofeh, and he put out a number of fascinating svarim. He wrote book reviews of svarim. He wrote a volume I have at home. I think it's out of print now, called Ishim Veshitos, where he profiles like 10, 11 Tamich Gedolei Yisrael of the early 20th century. The Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim, the Ragachavar, Reb Kook, the Chazon Ish. And he gives you like 5-10 pages of like a biographical sketch. And then like 20, 30, 40 pages of a sense of how they learned and some of their biggest and most interesting chidushim using super extensive quotes from their svar. It's frightening. It's beautiful. And it's frightening the extent to which the man had bekiyas in Chazon Ish. And it's frightening the extent to which the man had bekiyas in Ragachavar. And the Havana Amuka, the way he pulls things together, it's awesome. And then he's famous for his collection of Chesiyah Shemaiselach, He was a Lubavitch Chassid, in addition to everything else. Sipur Chassidim is fantastic. And there's a volume called La'or HaHalacha. La'or HaHalacha. It talks about all sorts of different topics in the light of Halacha. So that's where he famously, very, very creative. He has an article on snow in Halacha. He has an article on the number 13 in Halacha. The Kuzari in Halacha. He has a famous article that some of you may have heard Rabbi Tabas speak about in an earlier point in your MTA career where he talks about Mishpat Shylock. The Halacha is a long, long tshuva, essentially. He talks about the Merchant of Venice. What would the Halacha say with such a dastardly contract? Is it enforceable or not? And then he has an article where he talks about what's the machlokas b'sham b'sol? So you say to me, well, which machlokas b'sham b'sol? There are tens, if not hundreds. He says, no, the machlokas b'sham b'sol. What are they arguing about? Well, which case? In all of them. What are they arguing about fundamentally? Is a fascinating chiddush. He suggests that there's a fundamental machlokas in perspective between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that I don't think he says every machlokas, but many, many, many machlokasin across Shas. And he gives you examples from, I think, all six Siddurim are driven by this fundamental machlokas, including the very last machlokas in Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Shas, which is the very, very end of Uksin. The machlokas is, do you look at the very last machlokas in Shas, I think it's machlokas Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the very end of the third paragraph of Uksin. When is honey mekabel tumah? If you're a beekeeper, I have a very good friend, close friend, who's a beekeeper. Some of you may know him, some of you know other beekeepers. So honey doesn't grow in jars. Honey comes from a hive. Bees go around noshing on flowers, and they put it together in the hive into honey. So, but food is only makabel tumah once it's not mechubar lekarka. So, and when does it have the status of an ochel? So, Beis Hillel say once it's actually disconnected. Beis Shammai say machlokas. I think the language used is shiacharcher machlokas refarshim. But at least some say that means once you start smoking. Once you start smoking the hive, so that the bees begin to leave, so that you can then safely remove the honeycomb. So what's the machlokas? Zevin says the machlokas b'shayim b'shayim. Oh, if you look at the actual, do you look at the potential? B'shayim are looking at, they're still looking at what is, and they're generally kaveh the halacha based on perspective of what is kinetic energy, if you will. And Beis Shammai are looking at the potential of what could be. Beis Hillel say, once it's actually an ochel, that's when the honey is mekabel tumah. Beis Shammai say, no, once you put a process into motion, that you begin to smoke at the hive, it's ultimately going to lead you to extracting the honey, it's already an ochel. We're looking at the potential. Many, 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 many machlokas. I would say, I don't know if he makes this point, but the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about when's Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, is it the first of Shvat or two B'Shvat? The first of Shvat, Shita Beis Shammai, that's when there's no moon, but the potential is at its maximum. Tu B'Shvat, the middle of the month, is when there's the most actual, visible moon. Fits well with Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And, he points out in the note, that's this machlokas as well. What do you mean, Kenegah Yam Nechnas, Kenegah Yam Ayotzen? He says, this is classic, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel say, how many days of Chanukah have you experienced? Tonight we'll say, we just started experiencing the first night of Hanukkah. So right now I have 1 day of Hanukkah on the belt. Tomorrow, two, and then three, and then four. That's Beis Hillel's focus on the actual. It leads to Keneged Yom HaNechnasim. Whereas Beis Shammai, why Keneged Yom? Sorry, Keneged Yom, right, Beis Hillel say Keneged Yom HaYotzim. Keneged Yom, which is the language? Right, Beis Hillel say it's the number of days you've already experienced. And Beis Shammai say, there's a number of days that are yet to come. Keneged Yom HaNechnasim, Beis Shammai say. Keneged Yom HaNechnasim. So, why? Again, it strikes us as surprising, because we're not used to it, because we don't, halacha l'maisa, we're knowing like Beis Shammai. But also you wonder, like, what's the svar b'davar? The answer is, that's Beis Shammai. How much Hanukkah is left? How much potential is there? Anyone who studied physics knows that kinetic energy and potential energy work inversely. Right? The more you have, the more you've already used, the less there still is potential left to do in the future. So Beis Shammai are focused, as is their want throughout Shas, primarily on the potential. So the for tonight is maximum potential. All of Hanukkah yet lies ahead of you. So you light for the 8 nights that are yet to come. And then you light for the 7 nights that are yet to come. And the 6 nights. And so on and so forth. Now the Shita of Ner Ishu Beso, we were talking about the Hidr number 1, Hidr number 2. It's worth noting, and for now we'll just leave this as an idea that could be developed more. And I'll leave you with a couple of riddles before we head down to the Beis HaMedrash. It's worth noting, I mentioned before, that some of the issues of how many you light and when you light and where you light, they're interconnected issues in the following sense. Ner Ishu Beso is not just a question of number. It's not just a question of how many neros are you lighting. Oh, one per household. It's also a hagdara of, it's a definition of the mitzvah. The core mitzvah is Hadlakas Habayit, you're lighting per household. What that doesn't only drive the question of how many neros you light, it also drives the question of where you light. Because most mitzvahs I can do wherever. Again, we're learning the key is the third parak of brachas. Okay, there are certain places you can't do certain mitzvahs. There are certain places you can't go with tefillin. There are certain places you can't say Kriyat Shema. Okay, but Kriyat Shema isn't fundamentally tied to a particular location. Kriyat Shema is tied to a particular time in the first parak of brachas. A particular time of Kriyat Shema Shoshachas, Kriyat Shema Avos. But it's not fundamentally tied to a particular location. Again, ideally I want to daven in Beis HaKnesses and Makam Yuchalut Tefillah, but fundamentally it can happen anywhere. Most mitzvahs are like that. Many mitzvahs are tied to time. Many mitzvahs are not tied to time. Most mitzvahs are not tied to a particular location. Okay. Yeshiva b'sukkah, obviously you have to be in a sukkah in order to be yotze the mitzvah. But even there, machlokas, Reb Elazar and the Chacham notwithstanding, I can be yotze yeshiva sukkah in my sukkah, your sukkah, and his sukkah. Anywhere I build a sukkah, I can be yotze yeshiva b'sukkah. Chanukah is unique. Chanukah is unique in that the Hagdaras HaMitzvah is in your house. A little bit similar to mezuzah. Very similar to Ner Shabbos. It's in your house. You can't just do Ner Chanukah wherever. Shulchan Aruch has a minig that we light in the Beis HaKnesses. That's an added minig to add to the presume Nisim. Maybe corresponds to Beis HaMikdash. And the minig Chabad is to expand the idea of lighting in Beis HaKnesses to also do outdoor hadlakas, to further the presume Nisim. But that's not the Ikar Adin. You're not Makayim there, Chanukah. It's a minig to, in addition to the core hadlaka, also will do a hadlaka in the shul. But the core hadlaka has to be in a particular location. That location is your bias. Your bias. Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, whether it's al Pesach HaBayis or al Pesach HaChatzar that surrounds the bias, but the hadlaka is supposed to be in conjunction with your bias, which is why posts can have discussions about where do you light. It's important to be aware that that's the shayla that needs to be asked. When do I light is the shayla that needs to be asked. Should I... Can I eat before I light? The child needs to be asked. Sometimes the question is yes, sometimes the question is no. And where do I light? I'm at someone else's house for a Hanukkah party. Or I'm eating here, I'm sleeping there. Or someone just spoke to me last night. He's eating Friday night Suda with one parent and sleeping at the other parent. The parents are not married, but they live near each other. So where do I light? Those are all great questions. They're all significant questions that need to be sorted through. But it begins with the fact that there is a specific location. Maybe sometimes I can identify more than one place, which is my bias. But I need to figure out what's my bias. I can't just light somewhere because it's convenient and handy. I have to be kaveh, whether it's the place I eat, the place I sleep. That's a Gemara and Erevin discussion in Poskim, how you sort out whether you follow the makam lina or the makam pita in any given situation. Sometimes you follow where you eat, sometimes you follow where you sleep. But that's all because the fundamental hagdar of the mitzvah is ner ishu beso. You're lighting at your bias. So not only does that mean one per bias, but it also means I should figure out where my bias is, which may depend, as Poskim discuss, and the rich discussion in Poskim, where am I sleeping, and where am I eating a particular night, and then am I traveling, am I settled, all the factors to be koveya, which is my bias. And finally, I will leave it for now with a couple of three riddles that we'll deal with after we come back from Shabbos. In the story of my Chanukah, the Olso. There are two things that are missing. The two things that are missing. Each one is strange. Ironically. The story, my Hanukkah is a blend of Chafaf and Beis, tells the story and tells of the dinim. It says, they're misakin Hanukkah because of the story. Something is missing from the story and something is missing from the dinim. Ironic, and the combination of those two missings is further ironic. What's missing from the, which part of the story is told in the Mai Hanukkah? Pach Shemen, the Nei Shemen. What's missing? The Nei Samachama. Strange. It just mentions Kisha Gavra. When they won, then they had the whole story of the Nei Shemen. We do have the story of Nei Samachama, but not in Mai Hanukkah. Only Nei Shemen. What else is strange about the Mai Hanukkah? What else is missing in the Dinim? In the Agada of Mai Hanukkah, what's missing is the Nei Samachama. In the Halacha of Mai Hanukkah, what's missing, ironically, seems to be, well, there are four dinim mentioned in Mai Hanukkah. At the beginning it says, you don't have hesped, you don't have tainus. Okay? Simcha b'shev al tasi. You can't do sad things. At the end it says, yontif b'hal v'hoda. Saying how? And hoda, Rashi says, is al anisim. Hoda is the title for the bracha of modim. What's missing? Nei Hanukkah. In the midst of, the Gemara quotes this brisa, Rashi says, to give you the background, we already started talking for an amud about this, about the midst of Nei Hanukkah. We already spoke about what type of wicks and oils you like, and how many you like, and where you like, and we spoke about when you like. And by the way, the backstory is Mai Hanukkah, this whole Nes HaShemen, as a result of which, Shem Masakar and Yantar with four dinim, Isser Hesped, Isser Tainus, Hal, and Al Anisim. If I asked you, what are the mitzvahs of Hanukkah? See, most people wouldn't say, oh, the mitzvah of Hanukkah is the same. Hal, Al Nisim, Isser Hesped, Isser Tainus. Ner Hanukkah! Where is Ner Hanukkah? And the irony is, in the storytelling of my Hanukkah, we only focus on the Nes HaShemen, the menorah, and not on the Nes HaMelchama. But in the halachas of my Hanukkah, he's focused on everything except for the Neros. Isser Hesped, Isser Tainus, Hal, and according to Rashi, Al Nisim. Now, the Rambam seems to translate Hodah as menorah, as Ner Hanukkah, but Rashi didn't. So the Nes HaMelchama is missing, and the halacha of the mitzvah Rabbanon of Ner Hanukkah is missing. Strange, mysterious. It's right under your nose. Right under your nose. So two mysteries, and we'll make it three. Here's a third. The Gemara, the very beginning, opening sugya, as you saw, raises two fundamental issues. One of which is kavasa zakakla or kavasa ein zakakla. If you lit a beautiful neiris, so you had enough light, but for some, enough oil, but for some reason it went out prematurely, do you have to relight or not? Strange question. Strange question, especially since what's the purpose of Ner Hanukkah? Pesumin Nisa, right? Pesumin Nisa means you're trying to communicate a message to people who are watching. If your billboard, if the power to your electronic billboard goes out, how effective is your billboard? Not at all. So, if Kavsa, it's very nice you did a Maisa Hadlaka, you lit your Ner Hanukkah, you cooked it with enough oil to light, you did a beautiful Maisa Hadlaka. Abra la Maisa, it's not lit. Whatever happened, someone came by, they blew it out, the wind blew it out, something happened, you got the fancy type of floating wick that was supposed to be better, but instead the whole thing turned over, and after 2 minutes, we've all been there, right? After 2 minutes, I tried my best, it went out. Look, I live in the 21st century. I don't really know what to do with wicks. I'm a light bulb guy. I tried my best. It went out. So it's very nice you tried your best. It's very nice you did a nice maisa hadlaka. But what's the havamina that the takana was to do a maisa hadlaka rather than to have a totsah that it is mut, that it is dolok? If it's about pirsum menisa, it's all about them getting the message out. It's all about the result. What's the havamina that kavza ain't zakakla? It's just a chiyuv hadlaka. Once you did a valid hadlaka, whatever happens later, it doesn't matter. That's what it's all about. Why would Chazal be misakin just a chiyuv hadlaka? If it's all about pirsum nisa, of course it would be misakin a chovas totsa. If you like shprach, a chiyuv cheftz instead of a chiyuv gavra. Not that the gavra should do a mais hadlaka, but that there has to be a cheftz of an erdolok. I need the result. It's not just about doing the right action. It has to be about having the right result. So three riddles to hold on to. Number one, my Hanukkah is missing the Nes HaMelchama. Number two, ironically, it's also in the halachic part, missing the mitzvah Rabbanan of Ner Chanukah, which is profoundly, multiply ironic. And number three, this whole, the opening topic, Kavsa Zakukla, Kavsa in Zakukla. Well, what's the Hagamina? Lo Dai, take a look at Shulchan, see what the Maskan is. That's even more surprising. But how can it even be a Hagamina, Kavsa in Zakukla? Even a Hagamina is purely a Chavas Maisa. So a lot to think about over the course of Chanukah and Mishnah. Will continue to work on the sugya also. We'll continue to work on sugya together this afternoon, and then over the course of the next couple of days, we'll continue to work on the very, very pretty Chanukah sugyas, and maybe these questions will give you some things to think about.